1 through 15, looking at the word of Jesus and looking at Jesus as a preacher. And that's going to be kind of his highlighted role here this morning. And he's going to have something to preach to us as we look at the word together. So, but before we dive into that, I wanted to play a little game with us this morning to get us started that I have entitled, Is It Biblically Sound or Does It Just Sound Biblical? And so we're going to try to, I'm going to give you some common phrases that we hear in our lives and our culture today, and we're going to have a little vote, right? And you're going to say if you think it's biblical, like it's in the Bible, or it just sounds like it's biblical. We're going to see how well we hear and recognize God's word together this morning, okay? So, all right, here's number one. Are we ready for this? Sure. That was not great. That was not a great start, okay? So let's just see how we do. All right, now, number one. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Who thinks that's biblical? That's in the Bible? Who thinks that just sounds biblical? Okay, pretty good. That one is in there. That is Ecclesiastes 4:12, all right? I kind of gave you a little softball to get us started there, okay? So hopefully that got you on the right foot. All right, here's number two. The eye is the window to the soul. In the Bible? Just sounds biblical. Good job, you guys. I'm so proud of you today. Man. The real quote that people oftentimes get mistaken with that one is in Matthew 6:22, that the eye is the light of the body, is what it actually says. Different context, different meaning there. All right, number three, here we go. God helps those who help themselves. Biblical? Sounds biblical. All right, good. I'm glad you guys got that one, because I preached that one a couple times already in our church, and so the Bible never says that. It actually says that he helps those who can't help themselves, right? The helpless. Romans 5:6 is one reference for that. All right, how about this one? By the sweat of your brow. Biblical? Sounds biblical. Half of y'all did not vote. I saw that. I'm keeping track, okay? That one actually is in there. That is Genesis 3:19, when God says to Adam that he will have to work the ground by the sweat of his brow. Okay, next one. Money is the root of all evil. Biblical? Sounds biblical? It actually says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Very important context there. That's out of 1 Timothy 6:10. All right, how about this next one? How the mighty have fallen. Biblical? Sounds biblical? I got a lot of no votes on that one. This is not the way the game goes. Like, y'all have to commit to something here, okay? That one is actually in there, 1 Samuel 1:25. That's when they're describing Nathan, and he has fallen in battle. All right, how about this one? There is nothing new under the sun. Biblical? Sounds biblical? All right, that one's good. Ecclesiastes 1:9. That is in there. Also, I think maybe in a Beatles lyric somewhere. But all right, next one, spare the rod, spoil the child. Biblical? Not biblical. Sounds biblical. Okay, that one's actually not quite in there. Here's actually what it says, okay? I know we say that one a lot around church people, okay? But here's what the verse actually says, Proverbs 13:24, spare the rod, hate your child, which actually somehow sounds worse, actually, than the other one. But that's actually what it says. All right, here's the next one. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Who thinks that's in the Bible? Who thinks that just kind of sounds biblical and we kind of put it in some laws somewhere? Okay, good. That one is actually in there. That is Exodus 21:23-25, Matthew 5:38-39. All right, next, God forgives those who forgive themselves. Just a couple more. God forgives those who forgive themselves. Biblical? Sounds biblical? Very good. Thank you very much for that one. The Bible never says that we are to forgive ourselves. We need the forgiveness of God on our lives. Amen? All right, next one. God will never give you more than you can bear. Biblical? Sounds biblical? Okay, good. 1 Corinthians 10:13 actually says that he will not give you more than he can bear and that he will help you through it, right? It's not about what we can do. It's what he does in us and through us. And then lastly, last one, the truth will set you free. Who thinks that's actually in the Bible? Who thinks that just sounds like it's in the Bible? That one is in there. That is John 8:32, okay? John 8:32. And that last one is Jesus' point of his preaching in this passage today, okay? that God's word is the truth and we need it in our lives. It needs to be the foundation of who we are and how we live. And he's going to press on us that today with his sermon on that point. And here is the main idea we're going to go after today. Is God's word bearing fruit in my life? Is God's word bearing fruit in my life? That's the question that we need to ask today. So, I'm going to read the first couple of verses, first 10 verses here of chapter 8, and we'll start walking through it together, okay? Number one, soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, and from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Keep going, verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So, first thing we want to look at today is Jesus the preacher. Right, that's what he's doing here in this first part of the passage. And four things I want to point out as he's preaching this parable to the people. Right, number one, Jesus preached the word of God. It says right here that he was proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Literally preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus. Jesus was preaching on this kind of like a little preaching tour, right, through all these little cities and towns around there. And he's telling everyone about God's plan for redemption and new life through him, right? And so he's laying this out. And this was actually Jesus' main mission, his main ministry here on earth was this, preaching the kingdom of God. A lot of times we kind of get fixated on like the miracles and like all the cool things he did and the healings and the signs. And those were all in there and that was all true. But the primary purpose of those things was simply to authenticate him and his message as being from God. His main ministry, his main purpose was to preach God's word, the kingdom of God, to the people. And it says here he was preaching through all the cities and villages in the area, meaning all the big ones and all the small ones, right? Jesus was preaching the gospel to everyone, everywhere. He was modeling for us the great commission that he was going to give to his disciples here shortly that still applies in 2024 today, that preaching and proclaiming the word of God is the primary method, the primary means by which God chooses to save the lost and make disciples. Preaching of the word is paramount to the work of the church. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says it this way, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And sometimes I think we get that verse, we get this idea kind of sideways, and we think that that's just for the preachers and the missionaries. But that's not who Paul's talking to here. He's talking to all believers. This is Jesus' command to all of us, that we are supposed to be preaching and proclaiming the word of God. Maybe not from a stage, maybe not in a sermon, but you need to be preaching and proclaiming God's word with your mouth and with your lives to everyone around you if you're a follower of Jesus. This is why at the end of our service every week we say to you that you are sent. You are sent out with the word of God as preachers and proclaimers of the gospel. Jesus was a preacher, and to follow him, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we also must be preachers of God's word, all of us. So that's the first thing, that Jesus preached the word of God. The second thing I want you to see is the disciples supported the word of God. Specifically, in this case, the preaching of the word of God. Here Jesus says that, it says in the passage, he was supported by the 12, meaning the 12 apostles, right? And it says some women, which is interesting because Luke is one of the writers in the New Testament that most specifically highlights the role of women in the ministry of Jesus and how they were connected to and part of his ministry and in the early church, even in Acts. And this is significant because most rabbis during this time period would not teach women. They would not include women in the teaching of God's word or in that process, but Jesus did, and he openly welcomed them here and in other places. And so Luke tells us here that they're helping Jesus and that they have been healed by Jesus in various ways, right? So that obviously would track. Like if Jesus healed you from seven demons or from whatever else was going on in your life, like you would want to help. You would want to support. You would want to be with him because he'd made such a big impact for you. And now they're wanting to support his ministry and help other people find that same hope and healing that they found in Jesus. And so when it says they were supporting him here, it really means they were financially supporting him. And it's interesting because this is one of the only areas in the Bible that we see where we have an explanation for how on earth did Jesus and the disciples wander around for 3 years doing ministry with no jobs, right? Well, it was because of this, because disciples, specifically in this case, some of the women were financially supporting the ministry. Now, obviously, he could have chose to do it other ways, right? Like he was a carpenter, he could have done that on the side and made some money and supported himself that way. He could have charged people for healings and miracles and made some money that way. He could have pandered to the political leaders or the religious leaders and gotten money that way, but he didn't choose to do any of those things. What he did was he trusted God to provide for the ministry through the people who have been impacted by the word of God. And the same thing is still true today. That's how he does the work of the ministry through the church, is by his people supporting the preaching of the word and the ministry of making disciples through the local church. And we see it starting here with Jesus and his ministry. I also think that Luke points out these two ladies specifically, Mary Magdalene and Joanna, because they are both going to be present at his burial at the end of Luke, showing that they stayed with him, they supported him, that they were faithful to him all the way to the end. And that's going to be one of the things that he's going to highlight in the sermon that he's preaching today. I think they're pictures of what Jesus is getting ready to preach to us in this parable. Okay? So the disciples supported the word of God in those various ways. Third thing I want you to see is the crowd needed to hear the word of God. All right, it says a great crowd had gathered from all the places that he'd been preaching in these towns and villages, and they'd come together. And no doubt, with a big crowd like that, there were all types of various people in the crowd, various groups, right? Some who were earnestly desiring to know God and to know his word and seeking the truth. Others who were just kind of along for the ride, right? They're just there for the show and maybe not serious at all about the Lord or the word. And so Jesus decides to tell them a parable to kind of sort out who's who, right? Who's in which group. Now he said it in such a way that they could all hear it and they could all understand the story that he's telling, the parable, and yet only those who truly desired to know God and to know his word would press in deeper to understand the meaning, the spiritual meaning behind the parable as God revealed it to them. And so he tells them this parable of the sower. Now, a sower is just a farmer, right? And he's walking through his field and he's spreading seed, probably by hand, throughout the field. And it says that the seed lands on four different types of soil. All right, first there is the path. The path was the area where people regularly walked through the field. It was beaten down. It was hard from all of the foot traffic. And so when the seed hit it, it couldn't penetrate the soil because it was hard soil, right? And so the birds would come by and it would just become bird feed and they would have their day on the path, right? That's how what happened with that seed. Second type of soil was the rock. And this isn't referring so much to like rocky soil, like there were rocks in the soil, but rather the rock was like a bedrock, like a layer of rock with a small, thin layer of soil on top of it. So from the top, from up top, it just looked like regular soil. But the problem was it was very shallow, and so when the seed got in there, it didn't have any room for roots, it didn't have any room to get moisture, so it would spring up and then it would die very quickly because of the rock that was underneath it, right? The third one is the thorns. We would actually call these like weeds today rather than thorns probably. And these weeds could grow up to like 6 feet tall at times, right? They were big weeds. And the key was they sucked all the nutrients out of the soil. They just took all of it and they didn't leave room for anything else to grow. And so everything else got crowded out and died and no other plants could grow among these thorns or these weeds that he's describing here. That's the third soil. The fourth soil is the good soil. The soil that is perfect for growing seed. Right? And the seed would get down to the good soil, and it said that it would produce 100-fold, meaning one seed in the good soil could produce 100 more seeds for further sowing and further growth. And the crowd that's gathered here, as Jesus is telling this parable, the crowd needed to hear this teaching for two reasons. First, as a warning about what type of soil they were, and secondly, as a calling to be that good soil that can hear and receive the word of God. And so that leads us to the fourth thing I want to point out here in this section, is that the response does not deter the word of God. This is so important for us, I think, as disciples, to know when we're preaching the word. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Right? In other words, I know that some of you in the crowd, some of you do, and some of you don't. Some of you are going to hear this, and you're going to receive it, and it's going to work in your life, it's going to work in your heart, and some of you are going to hear it, and it's not going to do anything. And he knows that. And he's calling the crowd to check their heart, to check their soil, to hear and to receive the word of God, but he knows not all are going to receive it. Not all of them are good soil at this point. But notice that doesn't stop him from preaching to all of them. And then the disciples kind of pull him to the side and they ask him, "Okay, what's this mean? Like, what are you talking? Why are you talking in parables, Jesus?" And he says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." Meaning, not secrets as in like, "Hey, this is a secret, don't tell anybody." Like, not that kind of secret, but more like hidden meaning. Like, it's a secret because you don't know what it means until the person who knows reveals it to you. He's like, "So I'm here to reveal this to you because you honestly, earnestly want to know, but there are others who aren't here for that." And he says, "So for others, they may not see and they may not understand because they don't really desire to know God's word." So that's maybe the first question that we need to wrestle with this morning, each of us individually, is what about you? Do you earnestly desire to know the word of God? Not just hear it, not just show up on Sunday and check the box and do your duty, but do you earnestly desire to know? Do I really desire to see and understand the word of God? In order to do that, we have to prepare, have to cultivate the soil of our heart. And so I want to spend the next section here looking at Jesus' explanation of the parable and the four soils as a self-assessment for where are you at on this, okay? I love this because not all of Jesus' parables does he explain to us in the text. This one he does. He's very clear, like, "Hey, this is what it means." All right, so let's take a look at that. Look at verse 11. So now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Okay, good, check. The ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root, and they believe for a while, and then in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Okay? So four types of soil, and we're asking the question, which am I? Which soil represents my heart this morning? Okay? So again, he starts off saying the seed is the word of God, right? And it's being sown by the preacher, who in this case is Jesus, but by expansion, it's all of Christians today, right? All believers are the sowers of the word of God, right? But then that seed's going to fall on four types of soil. So the first one is the path, which we're going to call that the hard soil, right? Those who hear the word but don't believe it, right? Their hearts are too hard to receive it, and so it never gets in there and it never takes root. And so meanwhile, the birds come, or who Jesus says the birds represent the devil here, and he takes it away. He takes away the word of God, because without faith in Jesus, Satan, who is, the Bible says, is the ruler of this world, is the one who is controlling and influencing our hearts. And he has deceived us by his lies, and therefore we are not receptive to God's truth because our heart is controlled by the lies of the evil one. It's a hard heart. And some of you in the room today, even here at church right now, this is you. You're thinking right now in your head, I don't want to be here. This is a waste of my time. It's stupid. It's worthless. These are just fake stories for weak people. And the only reason you're here is because somebody dragged you here or guilted you here or forced you to come here, and you don't want to be here. Because your heart is hard towards God and his word. And that's okay. I'm glad that you're here. Because this morning, Jesus is not just preaching to us, he's preaching to you. And he's giving you a warning that your heart is hard, that you have hard soil today, and it's blocking you from knowing him and knowing his word. And he wants to see the soil of your heart change. And we're going to talk about that, how to do that in just a minute. But let's look at the second type of soil first. The second one is the rock. We're going to call this the shallow soil. The shallow soil. This is those who hear and receive God's word, but only superficially, right? They receive it. He even says here they receive it with joy, meaning like they're hyped about it, right? Like they're excited about it, but it's not going to last. Because they have what we would call maybe easy believism. Meaning, yeah, I'll believe in Jesus as long as it makes my life easier. As long as he's doing something for me and he's helping me out, right? It also says here that they have no root, so they fall away. They're like fair weather fans. As soon as things get tough, as soon as there's testing or trials or suffering or persecution, they're out. They're going to bail because they have no root of genuine faith to go deeper and to hold fast to the word of God when things get tough. And again, this is some of you here in the room today. Some of you here today, you are in and out of church like most of us are in and out of the gym. Right? Like when I need to pick me up, when I need to like get my life together, when I need to get pumped back up, then I'm going to go in for a little bit. But as soon as it's no longer fun or easy or beneficial, I'm out. And you have this cycle on repeat in your life. Here for a few months, gone for a few months. Here for a few months, gone for, or maybe it's even years. But you're in this cycle where you see Jesus as a genie that's supposed to serve you and serve your life rather than a God that you're supposed to worship. And Jesus, this morning, he's warning you as well that by living in that shallow soil, you are missing out on the true joy and the true purpose that he has for your life. The third type of soil is the thorns. The divided soil, we'll call it. Again, this is those who hear and receive the word, but it just kind of gets added to everything else, right? It's just another option on the buffet of their life. They just kind of drop it in among all the other stuff. And Jesus says that the word in their life, that it gets choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. In other words, they're so consumed with worldly desires, there's just no room for Jesus. There's no room for God's word to grow in their hearts because everything else is taking priority. And Jesus has to take a back seat to whatever else is going on. Right? The career, the school, sports, hobbies, money, traveling, family, substances. I mean, the list is endless. Today in our world, in our country, we have so many things available to us that take priority in our hearts and our lives that Jesus just gets a back seat to all of it. And because of all these thorns, Jesus says the seed of God's word can never mature, it can never bear fruit, because Jesus and his word never have priority in your life. And again, some of you are here today in this category. Some might even label this as nominal Christians, meaning you come to church, you connect with Jesus, right? You're here for it when it's convenient. But if there's anything else in the schedule that's more important, if there's any other priority that you are more passionate about or more excited about than Jesus in that moment or in that weekend, then you're out. And you think that you're following Jesus, but you're actually deceiving yourself. The truth in your heart is that it's divided because you still love the things of this world too much. And Jesus is warning you today. He's warning you because this is maybe the most dangerous one. Because one day you're going to die and you're going to think that you're going to heaven and you're going to get in front of Jesus and he's going to say to you, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You did some church things, you did some spiritual things, but I never knew you. I was never a priority in your life. So therefore, I have no place for you here." Divided heart. The last soil that Jesus talks about is the good soil. We're going to call it the fruitful soil. This is those of you who hear the word of God and hold fast to it, right? Jesus and his word are the greatest desire of your heart, and you refuse to let go no matter what else comes against you. Jesus describes this soil as those who have an honest and good heart. Meaning a heart that has true and pure faith. Not good as in like morally good. He's not saying we have to be morally perfect in order to be good soil. He's saying, no. It's those who, they are faithful to God. They are faithful to his word even through the failures, even through the struggles, even through the problems. They're going to hold fast to God's word. And he says that they will bear fruit with patience. Such an interesting phrase right there. That's one evidence of good soil in your heart, in your life, is that you persevere in the faith. Through the highs, through the lows, through all the stuff, you patiently trust the Lord. You trust his word no matter what. And as a result of that faith and that perseverance, God's word produces fruit in your life. Jesus says here, 100-fold. And I know many of you in this room also are in this category. Your heart is good soil. You love God's word. You treasure God's word. You hold fast to God's word. But even if you are in the good soil category, if we can be really honest this morning, there's oftentimes still some things that are kind of in there. Some thorns, right? Some shallow spots, some things that aren't completely tilled out yet and need to be taken care of. And so for all of us, no matter what category you think Jesus might be putting you in this morning, we all need to be asking this question: which soil am I, and how can I cultivate good soil in my heart and life? How can I be that good soil that Jesus is talking about here? That's what we're going to spend the last couple minutes on this morning. Point number three: how do I cultivate good soil? He actually tells us right here in the text, right? I love it. I love it when Jesus gives us the answers to the test, right? And he does it right here. Four things to help us cultivate good soil in our hearts to receive God's word. The first one, number one, is just this: hear the word. That's where he starts, right? It's just with hearing the word. The more I hear God's word, the more fruit that God can produce in my life through that seed, through that word. And the reality is, for all of us, we are constantly hearing messages from all kinds of other voices in our life, right? TV and movies and social media and news sites and conversations and advertisements. I mean, just all over the place. Messages are coming at us constantly from every direction. And those messages are impacting the soil of our hearts. And so we have to ask, how much am I hearing God's word versus hearing other voices that are planting seeds in my life and in my heart? How much am I sowing God's word into my heart versus sowing the seeds of the world into my heart through these other voices? So how do we hear the word? Well, one of them is this right here. Sunday morning, coming, set aside, focused, priority time where we are coming and we are worshiping him and we are listening to what he has to say to us through his word. But Sunday's not enough. If you only eat one meal a week, you will starve to death. It's not enough. So how else are we hearing the word of God? We need to be reading and studying God's word for ourselves each day. Even if it's only a few minutes, we need to be getting God's word into our mind and into our hearts every single day. We also need to hear God's word by discussing and applying it to our lives in our small groups. That's why we do small groups here. That's why they're so important. It's another touch point in your week for you to hear God's word through the voices of fellow believers who can speak into your life and encourage you in the word of God. Also, you can get more of God's word just by listening to sermons online. I mean, to this day and age, there are so many good sermons all over the place, right? Podcasts and sermon sites, and it's all over. Like, you can listen to them throughout the week. And just be filled with God's word instead of whatever other junk you're listening to on your podcast or the radio, right? We don't need to rehash the Cardinals manager for the fifth time this week on radio. That's not helping you, right? The endless political comments are like that's not helping. You know what can help? God's word. Hearing God's word. You can even get it through. You're like, I don't really like listening to like all the talk stuff. Like, hey, great, put some music on. Tons of Christian music in every type of genre and style now. You can hear God's word being poured into you simply through music. How much are we hearing God's word? Number two, hold fast to the word. Holding fast means valuing and clinging to something as more important than anything else. It means that God's word becomes my true standard for life, that every decision is filtered through God's word. It means it no longer matters what I think about this or I think about that. It means, what does God think about this? Our girls probably are so sick of hearing that question in our house. It is on repeat. What does God's word say about that? What does God say about that? Right? We ask them that all the time because this is the filter for our lives. We have to hold fast to it because this is what ultimately matters. So first of all, to hold fast to God's word, you got to know God's word. You got to know and follow God's word in your life. That means reading it. That means memorizing it so it's in there and you know what it says. It means meditating on it so you can control your heart and control your mind and submit them to the word of God. You know, in another part of the Gospels, Jesus says that whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth. And by extension, not just out of your mouth, but out of your life. Because whatever's in there is controlling who you are and how you live. Is God's word in there? Are you holding fast to God's word as the standard of your life? That's good soil. The third step is to hoe your heart. I know that sounds like a really strange sentence, but just go with me for a second here, okay? Hosea 10:12. Listen to this scripture. He says, Hosea 10:12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. All of our hearts start as bad soil. None of us start with good soil. We all start with fallow ground that needs to be broken up to receive God's word, to receive it, and to bear fruit for the Lord. And so what that looks like depends on which heart you're starting from today, right? Is your heart that hard path? Is your heart hard towards the word of God? If so, it's time to break it up. It's time to break up the sin and the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the pride that is in your heart through confession and repentance and humbling yourself before the Lord. Let his word of mercy and grace come and heal your heart today. Or maybe your heart's the rocky heart. It's all about you. It's all about your life and your comfort and your wants. You. And you are drowning in an idol of self, covered up, consumed with self-worship, and it's blocking your chance to ever have a relationship with God because your faith is shallow, because it's all about you. You need to kill that idol, crush it, and then submit yourself to the one true God. Only he can give you lasting joy and peace and purpose. But we have to get the rock out. Maybe you're the thorny heart, just consumed by the desires of the world. Do you still love the things of this world more than Jesus? That's what it boils down to. If that's you, let me just be honest with you this morning. He will never settle for that. Jesus will never settle for being just another option on your list. All those other priorities are choking out your relationship with Jesus, and you need to pull them out by the roots and throw them into the fire and clean up that heart so it can receive God's word and grow in fruitfulness for him. To know and follow Jesus means to forsake everything else. He has to be first priority. What do you need to do? What do you need to hoe out of the soil of your heart so that it can be good soil for the word of God? Then last one, number four, hold on in faith. I'll just be honest for a moment this morning. Hopefully not for a moment. That was probably missaid. Hopefully the whole thing's been honest. But if we can be real, maybe say it that way for a minute this morning, this is hard. Sometimes it's hard to hold on because life is tough and all kinds of stuff comes at us, right? 1,000 different ways. But if we can hear God's word and we can hold fast to God's word, with a good heart, he promises us right here that it will always bear fruit. Guaranteed. 100-fold even. Just like Mary and Joanna, who were following Jesus and stayed faithful and persevered in their faith all the way to the end, he's calling us to the same thing. To hold on in faith with patience and perseverance. And when we do, he will produce 100-fold in our lives, meaning more and more seeds of the word of God that we can then sow into others' lives. That's our purpose, church. That is our mission as believers, is to sow the seeds of the gospel that God has produced in us into others. And just like Jesus, just like the sower in the parable, not all the seed that you sow is going to produce fruit. Just know that up front. That's why it takes patience. Because it's hard work. But he also still calls us to keep sowing. Keep preaching and proclaiming the good news to everyone, everywhere. They need to know. They need to hear it from you. That you're a sinner. And that you're in rebellion against God, but he loves you. And he came down for you to earth, and he lived as a man. He died on the cross for your sins, and you can have forgiveness in him. They need to hear it. If they don't hear it, they can't believe it. If they can't believe it, they can't be saved. This is the fruit of the seed of God's word in our lives and in the lives of others. So let's come back to our main question this morning. Is God's word bearing fruit in my life? How would you answer that today? Is God's word bearing fruit in my life? If your answer is no, then what can you do to cultivate a better soil so that it can bear fruit? Right now, I want you to pray about that. I want you to ask the Lord to reveal to you what in your soil, what in your heart is blocking, stopping you from producing the fruit that he's called you to. What do you need to hoe out of the soil of your heart so that it can produce what it needs to produce? Jesus is warning us here, but he's also calling us to receive his word with pure hearts before the Lord. If your answer to that question, is God's word bearing fruit in my life? If your answer is yes, great, love that, awesome, praise the Lord. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with the fruit, with that new seed that's being sown and grown out of your heart? That fruit's not just for you. You know that, right? It's not just for you to feel good about yourself or feel superior to somebody else. It's not so you can just have a nice, clean family or life or church or small group. It's for you to sow back into the kingdom of God. Who are you sowing the word of God into right now? Who has God put in your life that needs the gospel, that needs the word of God from you? And you have a chance to sow that seed into their heart. Who are you preaching to? Who are you proclaiming God's word to? Jesus wants us to receive the word, and then he wants us to preach the word. That's our calling this morning.